From sauerkraut to poetry and cheese to farm art, the Fermentation Fest in Reedsburg, which runs from October 2nd, tomorrow, through next weekend, October 11th, celebrates live culture in all of its forms. We'll talk with the festival organizer and a fermentation expert this hour about the fun and the importance of fermentation. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, October 1st. Happy October to you. So will you be visiting Fermentation Fest this year? Have you been there in the past? What questions do you have for our guest about the festival or about fermenting foods? Do you ferment your own foods? Are you a convert to fermentation? Do you have any testimony or a tip to share? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Donna Newworth, Executive Director of the Worm Farm Institute and organizer of Fermentation Fest. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Linda Conroy also joins us. She's an herbalist and herbal educator. She has been fermenting foods for more than 20 years. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Well, it's great to have you both with us. I have not been to Fermentation Fest, though I have meant to go for the past couple of years. This is, first, Donna, this is, this has been around just for, since 2011?
Yes, this is year five.
And for those of us who have not had the opportunity to visit, exactly what is Fermentation Fest?
Well, the full title is Fermentation Fest, A Live Culture Convergence. So as your introduction stated, live culture in all its forms, from art to yogurt and poetry to sauerkraut. So literal fermentation classes and workshops on how to ferment various things, and Linda can go into detail on that. And those take place on the weekends, on both Saturdays and both Sundays. But we also think of culture, live culture, more broadly. And the featured event of Fermentation Fest is the Farm Art Detour. And that is open all 10 days, and that is a 50-plus mile self-guided drive through scenic working farmlands of central Sauk County, punctuated by temporary art installations, pasture performances, field notes that educate folks about hay fields and corn fields and dairy farms, and roadside culture stands, which are at the food chain stops, and that's where there are various food purveyors and local food purveyors, both of fresh and fermented food.
Yeah, we'll get into some of these specifics as we go along. But what's the point of Fermentation Fest? Why was it? Why did you decide to hold it to begin with?
Well, it evolved out of, in 2010, we hosted a traveling Smithsonian exhibit called Key Ingredients, America by Food. And it's an exhibit that is loaned by the Smithsonian to small towns across the country, and it serves as the central organizing principle around which we develop our own food culture and food ways exhibits. And so it was during that process that we discovered, like everyone in Wisconsin knows, beer and cheese are our key ingredients from out of Wisconsin history. But, of course, sauerkraut and yogurt and sourdough bread and kimchi and chocolate and coffee and all those products that we enjoy that are fermented are very much part of a culture that has evolved here and is very much alive today. I mean, we still are the beer and cheese capital of the world. but we wanted to shine a light on all these other wonderful health-giving properties that fermentation provides. And one of our first keynote speakers was Sander Katz, who wrote The Art of Fermentation. And my favorite quote by him is, "Fermentation is that flavorful space between fresh and rotten where all the world's most prized delicacies exist."
That's great.
So it's something about, you know, that place where you think it's going bad, but you get it at just the right moment, when it has stronger flavors, more dense nutrients, and in some cases, altered states of consciousness. And what better quality to build a festival around than that?
And so Linda, you have been fermenting foods for more than 20 years. What got you hooked on it?
I got hooked on it for a lot of different reasons. Certainly the taste is one of those. I'm also interested in health. I'm an herbalist, and the health benefits of fermented foods are amazing. The fermentation process itself actually produces nutrients in the, you know, as things are fermenting in your crop or your vat. And then the flavors are amazing. You can add so many things to your ferments. And first and foremost, actually, fermentation is a preservation technique. And, you know, most people in this country have refrigeration, but historically and around the world, people don't have refrigeration, and fermentation is really first and foremost a preservation technique. And I'm very interested in preserving food and all the different ways we can do that.
Yeah. And well, what are the health benefits of eating fermented food?
Well, like I said, there are many. One thing we can start with is that the fermentation process itself is actually a very active process. And I often call it the bubbling crock. And so when the fermentation process is happening, there are enzymes being produced and vitamin C and lots of different things that are happening that actually produce other nutrients that didn't even exist in the food originally. And then, of course, the food has nutrients that exist in it originally. And when you're fermenting, you're breaking down the cell walls of the food and you're rendering the nutrients more bioavailable to the body so the body can actually assimilate them more fully. And of course, I think most of us know about probiotics, beneficial bacteria that help to develop and build our gut flora, which is actually the heart of our immune system. So there are just many, many benefits, and those are just a few.
Yeah. Some might think, though, that, you're talking about bacteria, that there might be things to be cautious about when you think about botulism or, you know, unhealthy bacteria.
Well, it's interesting because in the fermentation process, things are in harmony, and so the beneficial bacteria becomes predominant and produces the bacteria while it's eating either carbohydrates or sugars, actually produces acid that keeps any of the harmful bacteria from growing. It's really an amazing and safe process.
And is that why fermentation preserves food?
Yes. Yep.
Interesting. So what are, I know that we've touched on some of them, but what types of foods can we ferment?
So many different foods. Miso is a fermentation process that ferments beans, usually soybeans, but other beans as well. Of course, alcohol, beer, and wine. Vinegar, if vinegar is raw and unpasteurized, it's fermented. Sourdough bread, which so many of us enjoy. And dairy, we have yogurt and kefir and other milk products that are fermented. Vegetables, of course, most of us know, sauerkraut. And really, you can ferment any vegetable. It's kind of a joke around my house. We say, I can ferment that, whatever it is. When our community-supported agriculture CSA box shows up, we actually ferment a lot of what is in there so we can eat, local vegetables in the winter. And then a lot of cultures also ferment sausage, fish, actually black and oolong tea, and a lot of people are delighted to know that chocolate is fermented as well.
It is? I had no idea. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have Dora on Twitter says, we make our own sauerkraut, lots of it, fermenting it right now. So there we go. And in fact, we will talk a little bit more about how to when it comes to fermenting. And I believe, Linda, you supplied us with a recipe, which we will put on our Facebook page. Wasn't that for sauerkraut as well?
Yes, it's a recipe for sauerkraut, and it's a base recipe, and then I offered some optional things. I'm actually a wild forager, And I like to add wild herbs and things and food to my sauerkraut. So that recipe has a base recipe, and then you can add juniper berries and burdock roots and all kinds of other things. So, yes, it's available.
Sounds wonderful. Well, we'll talk more about the fermenting process, the benefits of fermentation, and more of what we can expect to find at the Fermentation Fest, a live culture convergence, which kicks off tomorrow in the Reedsburg area. We are talking with Donna Neuwirth, Executive Director of the Worm Farm Institute and organizer of the annual Fermentation Fest, and Linda Conroy, who has been fermenting foods for more than 20 years. She's an herbalist and herbal educator. What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about fermentation and the annual Fermentation Fest that kicks off tomorrow in Wisconsin, in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. We are talking with the organizer of Fermentation Fest, a live culture conversion, and her name is Donna Neuwirth. She is executive director of the Worm Farm Institute. We're also talking with Linda Conroy, an herbalist and herbal educator, about fermenting foods, and we're welcoming your questions about fermentation and the Fermentation Fest. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Donna, we talked a little bit about Fermentation Fest, and you touched on some of what you will be doing this with the live culture convergence. I'm sorry, but what are some of the highlights this year of the festival?
Well, the Detour, which is the 50-mile drive, is probably the highlight. You can sort of pace yourself and do it how you like. It's free of charge. During the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays, there are pasture performances that happen a couple of times a day. There are also surprises and rogue installations. We think that it's important for people to make the connection between food and health and land and farmers. And so as people learn about how to make sauerkraut, of course the cabbage comes from someplace and the farmer grew it. And so it's a way to sort of make the more legible food chain, as Michael Pollan calls it, and also it serves as a really enjoyable drive in the countryside. So I think that if anyone were interested in coming and making the most of it, I would suggest they come and take a class and then take a long drive on the Detour. There are over 36 classes offered over those 2 weekends, and Linda's teaching several of them, and a couple of them are already sold out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's great. And I noticed on the website that you even have a playlist that people can download and play while they're driving around on the Detour.
Oh, yes. In fact, that's a new thing this year. We're very excited about that. You know, we have artists that do original art installations on the Detour. And so this year we have a mixtape, which we call the soundtrack for the Detour, which is all original music from musicians from across the region. And you can download it for free, or if you buy a passport, you get a CD with it.
Yeah, so I certainly see the connection between the festival and the farmers who grow the foods that we ferment. Why does the festival also support artists?
Well, the root word of culture means to till the soil. And so I think for centuries, art and dance and music were intertwined with growing food, and I think we've drifted away a bit from that. And so we think it's really important to reconnect culture and agriculture, and that's what Worm Farm Institute is all about, and we do that in a variety of ways. But the local food movement has energized the economy so much, and there's so many more opportunities to strengthen the economy in the rural areas that surround our urban centers in Wisconsin. And I think we are ideally situated in this area, in Reedsburg, as halfway between Minneapolis and Chicago and an hour from Madison, to enliven and energize these rural communities that have so much culture. And fermented foods is one of the ways in.
I see the schedule offers a decomposition concert. What happens at a decomposition concert?
Well, the initial one, this is a series. This will be the third year of the decomposition concert. So originally it was a composition in the key of D that dealt with themes of decomposition and renewal. So one composer starts it and then hands it off to the next composer that sort of decomposes and recomposes. And so it will be an original performance on the Friday the 9th. And the two composers that are in this iteration are from the band Fox. And they will be performing at 7:30 at the the Old School Art Asylum in Lime Ridge. And all that information is on the website.
The festival is also offering a barley soda stroll. What is a barley soda stroll?
Well, that's the kickoff event. That is, you're probably familiar with wine walks. This is the beer walk, and beer was originally called barley soda. So it's a beer walk that's being conducted by the Reedsburg Revitalization Organization here in town. And I think that was might be close to being sold out, too. I'm not sure.
Oh, we better get on the ball here. I'm going to miss out on all these things. So, Linda, do you have any classes that are not sold out?
I do have a few that aren't sold out. One that I am offering that was really popular last year, and I know there are it's almost full, is herbs and fermentation for digestive health. And new this year, we're doing a harvesting and fermenting wild food. So that has a few spaces in it as well.
All right, so I can go and forage for wild food, and then you can tell me how I can ferment that. Can you give me just sort of the basic process for fermenting a food?
Sure. It depends on which food you're fermenting. So the basic premise is that you're actually either inoculating with beneficial bacteria, or you're trying to harvest the bacteria from the air. And you're introducing the bacteria to carbohydrates or starches. And so if you're making sauerkraut, for example, you shred the cabbage, you add a little bit of salt, and salt actually breaks down the cell walls of the vegetable and pulls out, and when the cell walls break, then the water that's in the cell walls will be, you know, released. And then you actually allow the cabbage to sit below the water with the salt in it, and you're capturing the bacteria that live in our environment and on the cabbage, and it will start to eat some of the starches that are in the cabbage, and it will start to produce the acid, which creates the sour taste to it. So that's the simplicity of it. You can pretty much ferment anything, like I said earlier, by doing that basic process.
We are talking with Linda Conroy, who is a fermenting expert and the organizer of the Fermentation Fest. And we are welcoming your questions and your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Will you be visiting Fermentation Fest this year, or have you visited in the past? What questions do you have about fermenting foods? Do you ferment any of your own foods? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Danny in northern Wisconsin joins us first. Hi, Danny.
Yes, ma'am. I've been listening to your show and talking about fermentation and sauerkraut. I'm just wondering, do you lose the value and the nutritional value of that if you buy it in a can? Is there any value to it once you buy it in a can? Or is it... already sauerkraut, is it?
I'm sorry, so fresh sauerkraut as opposed to canned sauerkraut? You want to know if there's a difference in the health benefits?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Linda, do you know?
Yes, there is a big difference. when you make fresh sauerkraut, you've got, like I mentioned earlier, you've got enzymes and bacteria and nutrients that get produced. And when something is canned and you put it under pressure, you kill off all of those benefits. So when we talk about wanting to eat sauerkraut or yogurt, if we're trying to replenish our gut flora, we hear this a lot. After we've taken an antibiotic, for example, it's recommended that in order to replenish the gut flora, which has been killed off by the antibiotics, that we eat live fermented foods. Well, the canned sauerkraut is not going to be live and fermented. Those things will have been killed off.
Thanks very much, Danny, for the call. Grant emails, I have been baking bread with yeast and now sourdough for more than 30 years, brewing for more than 25 years, and I also make kimchi, sauerkraut, pickles, salsas, and jams. It's not difficult to do, and the results are far superior to commercial products. It's also great fun. Linda, do you concur?
I certainly do concur. It's amazing to watch things expand and grow and the flavors and when things come out of the oven. Sourdough is just really a delightful process. I make my own sourdough bread as well. And I really prefer my bread over any other bread.
Yeah, I don't know why it intimidates me a little bit. It's not difficult to do.
It is there's definitely a learning process, and I had a few hard loaves along the way, I know there's a workshop on sourdough bread making at the festival. I think that is sold out too, actually. But actually, if you can spend a little bit of time with someone who's actually done it just to see the process, it can be really helpful.
Yeah. Donna, do you do your own fermentation or do you ferment your own foods?
Well, you'd think I would, wouldn't you? But I just hire people who do and make exchanges. So we grow the cabbage and we actually hand it over to a friend who makes kimchi for us. So actually, I have not.
Well, no, that's great. So why do you like kimchi?
Well, I like the complex flavors. It's kind of addictive after a while. And of course, the gut flora, bacteria, probiotics is important to us. And it punctuates a bland meal.
Yeah. Now, a lot of classes seem to be selling out. Do you happen to know if the sourdough bread class is sold out?
There's several bread classes. And I think the rye sourdough still has some room. And the slow-rise breads is full.
Yeah.
I believe if you go to the website, it'll tell you if they're sold out.
Yeah.
A couple. I think there's four different bread classes, and I think two are sold out.
And you have something this year called passports. What are passports?
Well, you know, the detour is a traveling experience, and we call people that take it detourists. And this year we have a passport that will allow people to punch a punch card at all the art installations and then turn in the completed punch card for a drawing. We think that it's important to think of it as a journey and to explore it as you would a traveler in another country. And so we're just reinforcing that with a lovely passport that has a button and coupons and the detour mixtape on CD and a variety of other coupon opportunities as people visit the towns surrounding the detour. It goes through four small towns, and it's in the center of Sauk County, so it can be accessed either via Spring Green or Sauk City or Baraboo. And so as you go through these various towns to get to the detour, we're encouraging people to explore what those towns have to offer.
Oh, yeah. So that's while we often think of Reedsburg as the headquarters of the festival, it's not necessarily the Reedsburg Fermentation Fest because all of these communities are involved.
Right. This is very much a Sauk County project, and we have partners all over the county. We are located and we live in Reedsburg. This is where it began. But we are a very rich region with all kinds of wonderful assets here, and the land and the drive is absolutely beautiful. And the detour goes through three smaller towns in the center of the state, mm-hmm. Center of the county.
1-800.
And I would just tag on that I try to sneak away from my classes in between to go on the detour, and it really is really fabulous.
I see on the schedule there's also a fermented Packers tailgate. Well, is this a whole new way to cheer on the team?
Well, this is an experiment this year because, you know, a big part of the event happens on Sundays when there are sometimes Packers games. So we're just going to experiment with this and see what happens.
Well, what's going to be? So it's eating sauerkraut and brats or something? Or drinking some beer?
There is a meat merry-go-round involved, and that's all I can tell you.
A meat merry-go-round? Now, wait a minute. Do you ferment meat?
No, it's sort of like a very fancy grill that spins.
Oh, okay.
And
okay. But, I mean, there's certainly, at a typical tailgate, you can... there are plenty of fermented foods with that, with the sauerkraut on the meat, and you know, I don't know, the beer that you drink, and cheese is fermented as well. Linda, is there a fermentation process with cheese?
Yes. Well, when you're making cheese, you're using bacteria. That's what gives cheese its flavor. We also introduce yeast into certain types of cheese and molds. And so, yes, it's very much a cultured product. And I've been making cheese in my own kitchen for 20 years. And it's really utilizing all different types of bacteria and yeast and molds to introduce. And it's, yes, it's a fermentation process.
Yeah. And do you make the kimchi for Donna, Linda?
I do not. I know a lot of people love kimchi. Usually it's a little too spicy for me personally, but I know people really enjoy it. And yeah.
Lynn on Facebook asks, I make my own stone ground mustard, sourdough bread every week, and I make sauerkraut. I know the kraut is fermented, but are the other things fermented? What else can the home cook make? I've also made ricotta cheese, but that's not fermented, is it, Linda?
And no, ricotta cheese is not fermented. Ricotta cheese requires a high heat, high temperatures, and that will kill off any beneficial bacteria, even if you were to use raw milk. But other types of cheese that are made at a low temperature are fermented. And this is really fun that she brought up mustard because condiments are historically fermented. And, like, I make my own mayonnaise, and I add a little bit of whey from either yogurt or the cheese-making process to my homemade mayonnaise, and I leave it sit out for a couple of days, and it ferments. And ketchup was fermented, mustard, all of these things were historically fermented products.
Yeah, interesting. Chris called in and he said, if canning destroys the health benefits, how does a home gardener preserve fermented foods? I mean, they're already preserved by the fermentation, I thought you said.
Yes, the fermentation process is a preservation technique. Like I said, first and foremost, the acid keeps it from spoiling. And basically, once you ferment something, you do want to store it in a cool place. And so when you're finished fermenting, and like, for example, sauerkraut can take 2 to 3 weeks before it's ready to eat, and then you want to store it in cold or cool storage. If you have a root cellar, like I have a unheated pantry where I keep my ferments in the winter. And if you don't, then you can put them into the refrigerator to slow down the fermentation process. They don't go bad, but what happens if you have sauerkraut sitting around for a really long time, sometimes it'll get a little mushy. But taking it into cold storage will slow that process down.
Linda Conroy is a fermentation expert. She's teaching many classes at the annual Fermentation Fest, Alive Culture Convergence. Donna Neuwirth is also with us. She is executive director of the Worm Farm Institute and the organizer of the Fermentation Fest. And we're welcoming your questions, and we're welcoming your own experiences with fermentation. Any questions you have about the process or the festival? 1-800-642-1234. We'll check news, and then we'll be back. is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about fermentation this hour. We are talking about Fermentation Fest, a live culture convergence taking place in Sauk County. Kicks off tomorrow and runs through October 11th. It celebrates live culture in all of its forms, from sauerkraut to poetry, from cheese to farm art. We are talking with the festival organizer and a fermentation expert. During this hour, we're welcoming your questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We do have a post on Facebook from Penny, who says, "We have gone on the farm art detour for the past 3 to 4 years, and you will not find a more beautiful ride in all of this state. Always enjoy this, and we plan to go on Sunday, weather permitting." It looks like weather permitting, it will be. So, Donna, what if we want to go on this art detour? How do we find out what the route is, and what do we see? What do we do on this drive?
Well, you go to the website, which is fermentationfest.com, and you can download a map. Or you can drive into Reedsburg and go to the Reedsburg Chamber of Commerce, which serves as headquarters, and pick up a map there. There are 43, or is it 42 stops along about 55-mile route that begins and ends in Reedsburg. And our advice would be to go in numerical order and allow 5 hours.
Wow.
Or if you want to see everything and get out at every stop and see the performances. But some people break it up and do it in 2 days. Some people don't get out of their cars. It sort of depends on your style. But I think to get the most out of it and to see everything, you should allow the day.
And what kind of performances are we seeing at the stops?
They vary from dance to music to acrobatics to there's a couple things that haven't been quite finalized yet. I believe we've got a juggler, and those take place. There's some of them that are planned, and there's some that will just happen. There's a pair of boots, an 18-foot pair of boots that will occasionally walk.
Oh.
One of the art installations is in downtown Reedsburg, and it's called Fermentaphone, and that is jugs and jars and crocks of bubbling ferments that will be connected to some sort of amplification system where the off-gassing turns into music.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are creative. Wow.
Linda, you've got to see that one.
Yeah.
We have a caller who has a question for Linda. Jill in Wright, Minnesota. Hi, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's your question?
My question is, I still have a bunch of root crops that I'm going to be harvesting this weekend, particularly beets. And I was wondering how I could go about fermenting beets.
Yes, beets are really fabulous to ferment. And one of the things about beets and carrots as well, they both have a lot of carbohydrates in them, a lot of sugar. So they're actually really easy to ferment. And so the best way to ferment beets, in my opinion, is to cut them into chunks and pour a salt brine on top of them. And you can add spices if you want. And just pour the salt brine on top of it, and you let it sit out at room temperature for 3 to 5 days. Keep tasting them. They could go a little longer, into 7 days. Keep tasting them until you like them, and then get them into cold storage.
Okay.
And you'll be delighted because the brine will be beautiful, dark, deep red.
Pretty.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. What concentration of salt brine should I use?
So you can use a tablespoon of salt to every gallon of water.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so you can adjust that as, you know, depending on how much you want to make.
Okay. And if I wanted to try rutabagas, would I use the same type of process for them?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And the other
awesome thing
is, like with a rutabaga, another option would be to make sauerkraut and shred it into the sauerkraut.
So we're doing sauerkraut this weekend. We're making our sauerkraut this weekend, yeah.
Yep, you could add it to your sauerkraut. I don't tend to do that with beets, but you could actually shred beets, a little bit of beet into there as well. Really beautiful when you add other things. I added carrots the other day to sauerkraut, and, you know, it's really a beautiful color.
Thank you, Jill, for the call, and good luck with that. So we are going to be wrapping up a little bit earlier than we expected, as we have a special report, a special news report on homelessness coming up. But I did want to ask before we let you go, Linda, where do you recommend people who want to learn more about fermentation go to get more information? Besides, of course, they can come to Fermentation Fest. But is there do you have some sources that people can learn more about it?
Yes, and that was going to be my first suggestion, of course. And then my favorite books are Wild Fermentation by Sander Katz, who Donna mentioned earlier. And he also wrote another book, The Art of Fermentation. Those are great books. There's also another book called Nourishing Traditions that I really like. You can also go to my website, moonwiseherbs.com, and I have some YouTube videos on how to make carrot kraut and also how to ferment milk products. There's also another website that I really like called Breadtopia, and he has wonderful videos on how to make sourdough. So those are a couple resources.
Wonderful, and thank you, too, for sharing with us your sauerkraut fermentation recipe. We will be sharing that on our Facebook page. And Donna, we will also be sharing the website for Fermentation Fest on our Facebook page as well. Any minute of why we should consider attending?
Well, it's a celebration of abundance and transformation. Come on down.
All right. Thank you both very much for being with us. Donna Neuwirth, Executive Director of the Worm Farm Institute and organizer of the annual Reedsburg, the Fermentation Fest, which is in Reedsburg and other communities in Sauk County. And Linda Conroy, herbalist and herbal educator. She's been fermenting foods for more than 20 years. Thanks very much to both of them for being with us. And thanks to Marika Suval for producing this program, and to Christy Taylor for on-air production and direction, and to Elizabeth Deliquess. Beginning today, homeless people are going to be banned from sleeping outside of the Madison City County building. As Parth Shaw reports, additional restrictions on Madison's homeless might also be on the way.
The front steps of the Madison City County building have long served as an unofficial homeless shelter.
It's like a safe haven right here.
Robert Morrison has slept outside the building for 3 months. His belongings sit with the other piles of luggage that dot the front steps, kept dry beneath the building's canopy. But starting October 1st, the city's homeless will no longer be allowed to stay here at night. Officials passed the ban in early September, citing threats to employee safety because of violent fights that have taken place on the steps. And these restrictions on the homeless might extend from the city council building to sidewalks and street benches. In late July, Mayor Paul Soglin introduced the Downtown Pedestrian Protection Ordinance. The current version restricts people from sitting on sidewalks downtown between 5:30 a.m. and 1 a.m. It would also make it illegal to store property on city benches.
I don't think we should have this ordinance, period.
Denise DeMarb is the president of Madison's Common Council. Alders will vote on the ordinance on October 6th.
It's punitive in nature. It tells people what they can't do, but it doesn't give them an option to do something different.
The ordinance would only apply to the downtown area and a part of the UW-Madison campus.
It will simply push them out into the neighborhoods, and nobody's going to want that either. We're dealing with our most vulnerable citizens or residents who are the homeless. And if we tell them that they can't sleep here or they can't sit here, then they're going to move somewhere else.
Five committees and commissions have weighed in on the ordinance. All but one voted down the proposal. Maurice Cheek serves on two of those committees.
I think that's a clear indication that the city's not interested in taking this heavy-handed conservative approach. I'm much more interested in seeing Madison be a city that is helping people who are down on their luck than finding ways to criminalize the lifestyle that they find themselves in when they're down on their luck.
Mayor Soglin turned down our request for an interview. However, he did discuss the ordinance in a press conference last month. He dismissed claims that the ordinance could be considered unconstitutional.
The U.S. Justice Department did not take a position that banning someone from sleeping in a public space was unconstitutional. What they said was that it is unconstitutional if there is no place to sleep.
While the city has a number of homeless shelters, they only let in people who are sober. Many of the homeless downtown suffer from drug and alcohol addiction. The county began construction on a 60-unit apartment building this summer. It's a Housing First project that would provide studio apartments for homeless adults in need of mental health and substance abuse treatment. The apartments are set to open in early 2016. Back on the steps of the city-county building, Robert Morrison says he's not sure where he'll go when the ban goes into effect, but he won't be moving far.
I love it here. I really do. And I plan on staying here.
Morrison says he'll be returning to the building on October 6th to sit in on the Common Council vote on the Downtown Pedestrian Protection Ordinance. Parth Shah, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, it's on the campaign trail after the news. We will take a look at the latest Marquette University Law School poll with its director, Charles Franklin. Then coming up tomorrow at this time, we will hear from Gary Knowles. Travel writer Gary Knowles joins us, and he will talk about some of the fun things to do and places to go in Wisconsin in Wisconsin this month. That's coming up on Tell Joy Where to Go tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.